Let's welcome Dominic to talk about MXNet.
Hi guys, hope everyone's doing well. Having a good day, I hope. I hope there's a bit of sunshine left at the end of the day for you guys to get out and enjoy Miami. But my name is Dominic Divacaruni. I work for AWS. A good part of my job involves contributing to and helping the Apache MXNet project. And I just wanted to give you a little bit about the project that I work on and why it's cool. So I'll share some information about that. You guys familiar with deep learning? Show of hands. Awesome. Familiar with frameworks, run training or inference using one of the frameworks? You guys are probably way more technical than I am, so I will try and do everyone justice. So what are we going to look at today? I want to give folks some background about AI and deep learning in particular and some history, and then we'll quickly jump into what are some of the challenges we see while running deep learning at scale, and then why MXNet? What is the project doing, and why should you consider it? And then finally, how to get started using it and also contributing, hopefully. That's our goal. By the way, I failed to ask. Folks familiar with Apache MXNet? One nod. I'll take it. Hopefully, by the end of this, you all will know more. Just a high level on AI. I know these terms are used interchangeably, so I figured I'd set some context. AI is the broadest, right? You can think of it in terms of concentric circles. AI encompasses everything from intelligence exhibited by machines. Machine learning is a little more specific. Involves using algorithms, training algorithms with data, and then using it to make predictions. Instead of writing software routines by hand, to make predictions, a machine is trained, but you all know that. And then finally, deep learning is a subset of machine learning that takes inspiration from the way the human brain works and fits a algorithm over a neural network. Essentially, deep learning's become successful. I've got to click through these. Deep learning has the success that deep learning has enjoyed in recent years is due to the fact that there's enormous amounts of data and lots of compute along with the algorithms that have been around for a long time. So quick history lesson on neural networks. Been around, essentially not a whole lot's changed since the mid-1900s, right? Some of the first models came out in the early 1900s. Neural networks were research came out about neural networks in 1943. Some of the networks we use today, RNNs, recurrent nets, and con nets, were developments in the late 70s and 80s. So this is not groundbreaking stuff. Some of the more recent models, we've seen a lot of acceleration in the past few years on deep learning, primarily because of the confluence of three factors, right? One is the availability of these algorithms that have been around for a long time, large, diverse data sets and that can help you train your models, and finally, utility computing. I guess you could argue that without some of these data sets like ImageNet, deep learning or AI wouldn't be where it is today. Because of ImageNet, you saw the various competitions that Google came up with, Kaggle, that we've seen a lot of advancements and acceleration in deep learning. And the availability of utility computing and the ability to run these algorithms at scale has led to a lot of development in deep learning, and it's been great. So where has that been helpful, right? It is a number of domains. We've seen performance enhancements in a number of domains, all the way from image recognition to speech understanding, natural language processing, and then reinforcement learning for autonomous vehicles. So why is deep learning so popular? Because it's flexible. Unlike probabilistic models in the past, which you needed to know a lot about the underlying data structure, deep learning is a lot more flexible. You can throw a lot of data at it and a compute power, and you're able to really push the boundaries of accuracy for a lot of these domains. Let's look at one particular deep learning network, right? This may be familiar to you guys. This is called ResNet or Residual Net. This is a state-of-the-art as it comes today, and it's the state-of-the-art of running ImageNet, I should say, the large ImageNet database for image recognition. And it's a complex network. You don't want to code this from scratch, right? It's a doozy. So you need a way to deploy this network on various hardware backends and portable devices. You need to be able to make modifications to this network. What if you want to change a couple layers to perform inference on something else or customize it for something? You need a framework or a language that is flexible enough to handle this sort of a large network. So with that, we think of this problem set in three different ways. One is programmability, right? This network needs to be easy to debug and modify, and you shouldn't have to code it from scratch, right? If you wanted to modify a couple connections, you shouldn't have to work down the whole thing. And you also want it to be portable. You want it to use memory efficiently, you want it to be compact, so it can be deployed on Raspberry Pis, on your mobile phones, so you can really extend the use cases and applicability of such a model. Obviously, as you know, the reason for that is memory and horsepower on a mobile phone or other devices is limited, so you want to be as efficient as possible, right? And lastly, I don't think there's been enough of a focus on this, but efficiency in training. You want to be able to take advantage of cloud scale. You want to be able to take advantage of multiple GPUs and multiple CPUs. What does that mean? If I add two GPUs, I want to get 2x the performance in training, right? If I add 16, I want to get 16x performance in training. Obviously, scale of performance is not going to be ideal, not going to be 100%, because you do have synchronization and communication across GPUs, but you want it to be as efficient as possible. So when you look at the landscape of frameworks, a number of these frameworks help you write, edit, and tweak models with ease. There are several frameworks, TensorFlow being a hugely popular one. Apache MXNet is our favorite, and I'll go into reasons why. And you have Microsoft's Cognitive Toolkit, also known as CNTK, and you have others. But I'll be focusing on MXNet. A quick high-level comparison, Apache MXNet is awesome. Reason number one, it's part of the Apache community. It's not owned by Google or by Microsoft. Second, it is flexible in the way you can program it. You can use both imperative and declarative, or also known as symbolic, programming paradigms to use MXNet. You can use your favorite language of choice with MXNet. And then you'll also see that it's very compact. It has the smallest memory footprint and a lot less lines of code when you create your network, when you create your model. A little bit about our background. I say R because I feel part of the framework. But Apache MXNet had its roots in academia, came out of UW and CMU, Amazon, a couple of these guys joined Amazon. Moo Lee, for instance. Wow, this is an eye chart. Moo Lee, Eric, and a couple other key contributors joined Amazon. But it has a diverse list, right? Amazon only makes up 35% of the contributions. Primarily comes from Apple, Tesla, Wolfram, Microsoft as well, NYU and Stanford and others. By the way, feel free to jump in if you have any questions about this. Incubator status. We are in incubation as of early this year. Still very low in maturity. Infrastructure still needs to be migrated. I'm helping, as a program manager involved, I'm helping shepherd some of those efforts. So we move a little quicker towards graduation. So why Apache MXNet? It's highly flexible. It works with a number of programming languages. It has imperative and declarative formats, which I'll show you, and it is highly efficient. And that's why it's the deep learning framework of choice at AWS. Let's talk about programmability. Number of programming languages, all the way from C++, Python, Scala, R, Julia. Any Julia fans here? Down to Go. And they all run on a C++ backend. So all the operators are implemented in C++, and all these programming languages use those operators. So the performance is optimized on C for CPUs and GPUs. So no matter what software package you're using for the front end, what language you're using for the front end, you get the same performance. That's the key attribute. And by the way, on that, we're constantly adding new operators to the C++ backend. You can there's a list of what we're working on GitHub. Feel free to please jump in and participate and add more operators that you think fit your need but are missing from the core framework. So the flexibility part has two aspects, right? One is programming languages. Second is programming styles. Imperative programming, you don't see this often in deep learning frameworks. Actually, PyTorch is one of the new ones with imperative styles. But essentially, it executes each line by line, right? It has the compiler has no idea what's coming next. It just goes sequentially. And this is great because it's easy to understand. But it is hard to optimize for parallel processing. So you want to use it, but you have some performance trade-offs. The more common one that you see is the symbolic programming model, where you define your network graph, and you call out some variables, and it isn't executed until the graph is processed. Right, so what it's useful for is that it's easier to optimize, it's used in some of the more popular frameworks. The cons is it's less flexible. This is hard to understand, as we know. And as your model size gets larger and larger, this becomes incredibly verbose and harder to debug. So instead of having to choose between imperative and symbolic, MXNet lets you choose both. Right? You can use an imperative, what we call an ND array API, that lets you describe your data iterators in an imperative format, and then lets you define your model using the symbolic approach. So you can use both. And here's an example snippet of how that's used. You can see, obviously, this is missing a lot more details about your model, but it has your forward and backward pass defined as symbolic expressions, but then your gradients are defined as an imperative manner. It's easier to write math equations in imperative. That's why MATLAB is popular. So MXNet gives you the flexibility of doing that. And people really enjoy it for that reason. That's why you see the code compactness, is that not everything needs to be described in a symbolic way. Let's talk about portability. MXNet can go on a variety of hardware backends, including your PC or Mac, mobile devices, Raspberry Pis, you name it. NVIDIA's Jetson platform, there is a tutorial out there now for the latest Jetson platform that was announced at GTC. There's a tutorial out there for how to run MXNet on that. And how does it do that? Well, the way MXNet handles that is it builds all the dependencies into a single C++ source file. So it is compact and everything is compiled. It's easy to run on any platform. Here's a demo of how crude. Rocket science, right? Thrown together by somebody and on YouTube. This is running in JavaScript. This is running in JavaScript in a browser on the phone. So it basically to show that it's highly compact and can run on in your browser essentially. On performance aspect, this is where I think really MXNet has had some groundbreaking innovation in terms of how it optimizes and scales, right? Primarily, you can train using any number of CPUs or GPUs, GPUs and then CPUs in the cloud, and you can then run inference on mobile devices or any backend, really. So how do we do that? So deep learning thrives on GPUs. That's no surprise to anybody. NVIDIA and Intel have done a great job with CUDA, cuDNN, and MKL libraries. And a lot of these frameworks, all these frameworks really, utilize the GPU libraries to let the frameworks take advantage of the multiple GPU cores. How do you scale across GPUs now and across nodes, each of which have multiple GPUs? At AWS, you have a single instance that has 16 NVIDIA K80 GPUs, and some of our models run on 64 of those nodes with 16 GPUs each for training, and it runs in a very short time. So how do you do this at scale? How do you make sure that this is efficient when you scale? Kind of an eye chart that's gross, but it's essentially that to drive the point home that writing parallel programs is hard. You have to manage communication across the GPUs and instances in an efficient way, and you don't want to do this by hand. That's why MXNet implements something called a hierarchical parameter server at two levels. One at the GPU level that enables GPU to GPU communication and keeps the parameters stored at a separate level than the ones necessary to go across the PCI switch, across the CPU. What that means in terms of numbers is that if you look at, so this is across one instance, one node, right? A node with up to 16 GPUs, we'll see that the red line is ideal, where that's 100%, right? So basically, you're using 16 GPUs and you get 16x efficiency. We see with MXNet up to 91% efficiency for using ResNet or Inception V3. Up to 16 nodes, or 16 GPUs, I'm sorry. And you extend that even further, up to 256 GPUs. That is 16 instances or 16 nodes with 16 GPUs each. And where ideal is there, we're running ResNet and Inception about 88% efficiency. What that means is you can cut short your training time from weeks or shifts or hours down to just hours in one day, or just an hour depending on how big your model is. So it's highly efficient. Some of the benchmarks used to run this is on AWS, we ran this using a Amazon machine image using CloudFormation to set up the cluster, the autoscaling group, and run MXNet using them. So this is getting to the point where this is our call for help, right? And here's how you can help. You can join first off our mailing list at dev@mxnet.apache.org. Actually, it's mxnet.incubator.apache.org. But either work, right? No?
I don't think so.
I emailed this and it seems to work.
Yeah, okay, right. Glad
to try. So I shouldn't have asked, I guess. And we have a Slack channel. This will move to another Slack channel that Apache has. We didn't know that at the time and I got yelled at, so thank you, Henry. And all this content is available on mxnet.io or MXNet's GitHub site, both of which will move to Apache, but you can follow along progress there. So please join a mailing list, please join Slack, and join the discussion. Roadmap, or rather a list of things that folks are working on is published onto the mailing list from time to time. Look at what folks are working on there, look at GitHub, and feel free to use the platform and contribute where you can. I want to get into installation and how to get started really quickly, as quick next steps for you to run with. First is pip install, plain simple pip install MXNet should get you going. There's pip wheels for CPU, GPU, using CUDA 7.5, CUDA 8. On AWS, you can use MXNet. You can use MXNet really easily, and it's optimized for use on AWS using a machine image, Amazon machine image, that contains a variety of frameworks, including TensorFlow, Keras, MXNet, and others, with the NVIDIA libraries and Intel libraries pre-installed. So if you select that when you create your instance, all that gets bootstrapped and you don't have to do any configuration. You can just fire up your Jupyter notebook and just run, right? So you can run it using, AWS has what's known as a P2 instance. It's an instance family with NVIDIA K80 GPUs. As you saw, if you were watching GTC last week, we announced or co-announced that we're going to have later this year, the Volta GPUs, so that should be coming as well. So if you want the latest and greatest in terms of GPU speed, that's coming on AWS. You have your AMI machine image, as I talked about, with all the packages pre-installed, and a cloud formation template. If you want multiple nodes, hundreds of nodes with GPUs, you can use a handy cloud formation template to get set up. That's about it. Here's some more information on our machine images. But I'll post these slides onto mxnet.io, and you guys can find it there. And so you don't necessarily have to take pictures, but I should have said that earlier. That's it, folks. I'll be around in case you have questions.